Just 6 days into the air campaign in Afghanistan, it is already clear that politics is playing a large role in how the military attacks are carried out. One of the most pressing political concerns is what a post-Taliban government might look like. It would have to balance the interest of Afghanistan's neighbors as well as the country's complex ethnic groups. NPR's Mike Schuster reports.
The most organized force inside Afghanistan opposed to the Taliban is called the Northern Alliance. It has 7,000 to 10,000 troops and controls about 10% of the country, all in the northeast corner. Its sliver of territory extends to about 40 miles north of Kabul, Afghanistan's capital. Northern Alliance commanders have been quoted as saying they are ready to attack the Taliban, who have reinforced their troops just north of Kabul, if the United States starts bombing those troop concentrations. But the U.S. has refrained from coordinating its actions closely with the Northern Alliance, according to Major General Henry Osman, speaking during a briefing yesterday at the Pentagon.
We are obviously receiving communications from the Northern Alliance. It's possible to use that in target planning. But as far as coordinating targets with the Northern Alliance, in the sense of discussing with them targets, that is not taking place.
The reasons for this are rooted in Afghanistan's complex ethnic makeup. The Northern Alliance is dominated by Tajiks and Uzbeks, the minorities of the country's north. After the Soviet Army withdrew from Afghanistan in 1989, Northerners eventually came to dominate the government that was formed in Kabul. Fighting broke out between them and their erstwhile allies from southern Afghanistan, where the more numerous Pashtuns dominate. Thousands died, and the fighting was quelled only when the Taliban came to power. The Taliban were in part the creation of neighboring Pakistan, many of whose people are also ethnic Pashtuns. Earlier this week, Pakistan's leader, General Pervez Musharraf, made it clear he does not want to see a return to those days.
The Northern Alliance must not draw mileage out of this action, and the post-action scenario has to be extremely balanced.
Mindful of recent history, U.S. officials are encouraging the emergence of a broad-based government. There are already contacts in parts of southern Afghanistan through the infiltration of intelligence agents and meetings on the Pakistan side of the border with visiting tribal and village leaders. Some of these people have supported the Taliban in the past. The goal now, says Thomas Gutierrez, director of the Center for Afghanistan Studies at the University of Nebraska, is to bring them into the ranks of an anti-Taliban coalition.
If the perception were to develop, particularly in the south, that it was our intention to return the Northern Alliance to power, then there's no chance for us to really peel off parts of the Taliban movement from the central theocratic core.
This effort at creating a government in Afghanistan is anything but new. Big powers have tried it for centuries, from the British in the 19th to the Soviets in the late 20th. Frederick Starr of the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies worries that it is far easier to fail in this than to succeed.
I'm worried that our busybody inclination, which is shared by heavens knows, the Pakistanis, the Indians, the Iranians, the Russians, this will cause the final government that results from this to be some kind of misshapen entity that only foreigners could love.
In order to avoid just that, the U.S. is supporting an effort at coalition building by the elderly deposed king of Afghanistan, Mohammad Zahir Shah. Zahir Shah lives in Rome and has been working for months to convene a grand council in Afghanistan to consider an alternative to the Taliban. Thomas Gutierrez believes that might work.
The nice thing about having the king, 88 years old, born in 1913, is that he's the most credible person to call such a grand national assembly, because that's been the pattern in the past. And he does enjoy more popularity in Afghanistan than any other single Afghan.
But U.S. officials believe Zahir Shah's efforts are only part of the strategy to solve the post-Taliban conundrum. Last night, President Bush acknowledged another element, the United Nations, whose nation-building efforts around the world he dismissed during his campaign for the presidency.
It would be a useful function for the United Nations to take over the so-called nation-building. I would call it the stabilization of a future government. After our military mission is complete, we'll participate. Other countries will participate. I've talked to many countries that are interested in making sure that the post-operations Afghanistan is one that is stable.
The biggest question about this strategy is, can it be accomplished without the presence of outside troops on the ground to prevent the internecine conflicts that ravaged Afghanistan in the mid-1990s? Then the United States washed its hands of Afghanistan. Withdrawal under similar circumstances does not appear to be an option for the United States now. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Los Angeles.